our unique God of all, the Lord of Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. We call upon your name this evening as we come to break our fast.
According to the teachings of Islam, Ramadan commemorates the revelation of God's word in the Holy Quran to the Prophet Muhammad. The word has become the foundation for one of the world's great religions.
You said recently in your old church, our national leaders are sending U.S. soldiers on a task that is from God. Are we fighting a holy war?
You know, I don't know if that was my exact quote.
It's exact words.
As again we say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Give me a break. Something happened on the road to Damascus. John fell off his horse, but he got back up on the same horse.
You see them all over the place. They're in stained glass windows. If you go down, well, south of where we live here through the state of Missouri, you're going to run across a little chapel. I think it's called the Precious Moments Chapel. And when you walk in, doe-eyed, beautiful little sculptures with their tiny, tiny wings and their little robes and their big, sad eyes. Precious Moments angels. Of course, the church has long lived with the images of angels, and it's still one of the images that in an age where most Christians are iconoclasts, they still don't get offended at an image of an angel. Put a crucifix on the wall, and many Christians will run from the room screaming, but if you put an angel on the wall, that's just fine. Why is it that more people believe in angels than in God? We're going to talk about angels on the day when the church remembers St. Michael. He's supposed to be the head of all angels, St. Michael and all angels this day in the church's remembrance. Pastor Paul McCain is our guest for the first half hour of the program, first 10 minutes of the program. You can join us as well. 1-877-623-MYIE is our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live Monday, September the 29th. In about 15 minutes, Pastor Peter Bender will join us. We're going to talk about the Apostles' Creed, close out our series with him. God, the Holy Spirit, will be the subject coming up in about 15 minutes. 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Paul McCain is a regular guest, publisher, and executive director of the editorial department at Concordia Publishing House and general editor of Concordia the Lutheran Confessions. Paul, welcome back.
Oh, it's fantastic to be here with you, Todd.
Why do you think it is that more people believe in angels than in God?
I think simply because they've become such a fixture in our culture. Visually, you put your finger on it. We see angels everywhere all the time, and they're generally depicted as very docile, harmless creatures. When actually, in reality, I was trying to think of a single instance in the Bible where an angel appears that the person who sees the angel is not terrified out of their mind.
So what is it? I mean, we're not given a lot of detail about the appearance of angels, but that's where people want to begin. What is it about the angels, essentially, that would cause people to be struck with fear, even when they're appearing to speak good news?
Well, they're awesome creatures. I mean, they appear out of nowhere. Without any warning, suddenly they just are there. And in the Old Testament, we know that the angels were God's messengers for wreaking havoc as punishment on people, for exercising his will, for protecting his people. Angels are very muscular or masculine type figures, which is ironic because most of the time angels are depicted as females. And we were talking before we went on that there's one place in the Old Testament, I believe it's in Zechariah, where women are depicted as having, where angels are depicted with wings as human beings. And in that context, they are female. And hence, in all of classical art, angels are depicted as females with wings. Whereas most of the time, they're awesome creatures that are almost indescribable.
Who is Michael? What do we know of him from Scripture?
Michael is the great warrior angel, and he is mentioned in Revelation 12:7, where it says, "And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old who is called devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth. His angels were thrown down with him." There's where Michael's referred to in the Scriptures.
Well, I guess since the church is remembering angels, we should probably point out that there are both good and bad angels.
Yes.
We're not remembering the bad angels today.
No. Scripture does not give us much information, but at some point immediately after the creation, angels were created themselves, and there was some kind of conflict in heaven, and Satan and those who joined him decided to leave the presence of God and rebel against God, wanting to become like God, and hence the evil angels or the minions of hell all follow the lead of Satan.
What do we know of angels? I mean, let's make some distinctions mm-hmm. between angels and human beings, or angels and their creator, right. God. Are they divine beings?
No, angels are spirits. They are beings who do not have a physical body. Jesus himself said, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have, Luke 24:39. Evil angels are also described as not having flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. And in Scripture, when angels do appear in human form, this is only a momentary appearance for those who need to see them. Angels are not gods. They are God's creation and serve his holy and perfect will. They are servants of God.
Do we have any idea as to what they appear? They appear in different forms. I mean, some of them are bizarre. They appear to be wheels. They appear to be animals.
Well, this is something I've also come to learn through my colleague, Dr. Christopher Mitchell, who's editor of the Concordia Commentary Series, just a fantastic interpreter of the Bible. Angelic beings or heavenly beings are many, you know, seraphim, cherubim, the incredible creature that made Adam and Eve stay away from the Garden of Eden. That was not an angel per se. That was some kind of an incredible creature. So these are these bizarre creatures that serve God. I mean, it's delightful. I mean, it's joyful to me to think that beyond what God created here, he also created this entire realm of beings who serve his every will and exist to serve us, which is amazing.
Okay, that's where a lot of Christians either fail to reap the comfort that Scripture delivers by way of God's promise of angels to protect us, mm-hmm. or they go too far and they start praying to their guardian angels.
Right. One of the gospel readings appointed for this day from Matthew 18 has that verse, which is a wonderful verse. Matthew 18, chapter 18, verse 10, Jesus says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Hence the teaching that there are guardian angels.
Let's go to the phones, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Andy's listening in St. Louis. Hi, Andy.
Hi. Clear up for me a common myth that when people die, they become angels. Oh. I'll listen off air.
Oh, that's great. I heard that one just this weekend.
Well, the question would be, why would you want to become an angel when you know you were created, as Hebrews says, just a little bit above the angels? We are created to inherit eternal life and to receive new bodies from our Lord. And so why would you want to be an angel?
So people don't sprout wings?
No.
After death?
No. I can't say for sure exactly what our bodies are going to be like in heaven, but they're going to be new heavenly bodies better than anything we've known before. But and by the way, angels are only depicted with wings in several places. For instance, the two young men that appeared to the women at the tomb, they were angels. They had no wings. They looked like young men with shining bright white robes. So it's a myth that angels always have wings.
You said they are to serve God and to serve us. How does that work?
Well, they accomplish God's will as he sees fit. Again, we don't have all the information that we would like to do, but we do know that they praise God. They are the Lord's servants in the world and in the church. He sends angels to serve and to protect Christian believers in their work and callings in life, Psalm 91. They attend to the dying. That's clearly stated in Luke 16:22. They care for children. I quoted that verse. They're deeply interested in all that occurs in the church. They adore and take great joy in the work of Jesus Christ. And they particularly rejoice over every sinner who repents, Luke 15:10.
So they are completely congruent with God's will.
Yes, absolutely. The good angels are in perfect sync with God's will. They are present at every major event. They were at Mount Sinai. They were present at the conception, birth, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord. They will come with Jesus when he returns on the last day. The Bible tells us that angels are present in the public worship of Christians, 1 Corinthians 11:10.
So when we say angels, we sing with angels and archangels, we literally are.
As we join their words of praise to God, it is as if we are one with them, praising and adoring the throne of God here on earth and also in heaven.
Okay, before we let you go, I want to give you a chance to talk about a new resource from Concordia Publishing House, Treasury of Daily Prayer, about 30 seconds to describe it for our listeners.
It is the single most comprehensive resource for daily prayer for Christians. It goes back to the ancient roots of regular ordered prayer. It's all in one book. You don't have to flip around and turn around, pick up this book, pick up that book, unless you want to, but everything all in one place. Hymns, psalms, prayers of all kinds, scripture, beautiful readings and writings from our church fathers, all in one single volume.
It's called Treasury of Daily Prayer. You can find out more about it by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Look at the bottom of the homepage. You'll find a picture of Treasury of Daily Prayer. And if you click that link, it'll give you all the information that you need. You can also call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask them about Treasury of Daily Prayer, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's Treasury of Daily Prayer. Pastor Paul McCain is publisher and executive director of the editorial department at Concordia Publishing House, general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. Thanks for coming in today. It's really good to see you, especially to see your bright, shining visage here in our dark and dingy studios.
My pleasure.
We'll have him back to continue also a little bit later next week, I think, on our series on the Lutheran Confessions. When we come back from this break, we've got a series to conclude with Pastor Peter Bender on the Apostles' Creed. God, the Holy Spirit, will come to the end of the Trinity, but of course there's so much more to say. All that after this. We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues, etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues, etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues, etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Stem cell breakthrough has important ramifications.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
As reported a few months ago, researchers have discovered a way to create stem cells without harming a human embryo. Called iPS cells, they are generated from an adult human's own skin cells. Besides hopefully eliminating the debate over the destruction of human embryos, iPS cells also do away with the so-called need for cloning research, since the purpose of cloning is to recreate one's own stem cells. In his State of the Union address, President Bush lauded this opportunity to, quote, extend the frontiers of medicine without the destruction of human life.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.